Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the episode 396.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? I don't know.
I think so. We're coming. We're getting there. We're getting close to 400.
There. 400. What should we do?
We'll figure that shit out.
Anyway, this is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
I woke up this morning and I was imagining some very horrible things. And this is
some imaginings, if you will.
Some horrible imaginings, if you will.
I would never.
You would never imagine horrible things?
No.
Okay. To each their own.
Yeah.
Some people like that kind of stuff.
I know. Anyways, fellas.
Hey.
How you been?
Pretty good.
Good. Good. Just fucking nothing, man.
Nothing. No, I got nothing, dude.
It's an empty void. No, good shit. Halloween, October.
It's upon all us. The,
you know, my girlfriend gets excited over October. It's also her birthday month, but that her excitement gets me kind of going and gets me excited. And
let's get it going.
Yeah, we're doing Halloween Horror Nights this Sunday. So we'll see. They got a Exorcist Believer maze.
Oh, no.
Are they going to play the song?
Yeah, I hope so.
Believer! Believer!
Imagine Dragons?
That's
Sail! That's a different
one, right?
Oh, they should mash up.
God damn.
Oh, I'm getting my shitty bands mixed up.
Fuck. Yeah, that's AWOL Nation.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So, you're getting ready for Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, it's my one little saga towards L.A. once a year, twice a year.
Ex-haunt.
Yeah.
Kind of guy.
Yeah. I won't be doing that. I haven't done it in a couple years. But yeah, for 9 years, I was a little seasonal scare actor at the Haunted Hotel here, which is not open this year, temporarily closed. But yeah, that was an interesting time.
If you end up at the Simpsons area...
Yeah.
And they have the little Halloween horror mini blind boxes.
Yeah.
Just pick me one up a couple and I'll pay you back for those.
I got you. Yeah.
Dude.
It sucks. I think because we do the VIP, but I think like it's like a separate thing with the Mario Land. I don't think I'll have access to that.
That checks out.
Which I'm bummed because I know it's very popular, right?
Well, yeah. Why don't they? Because it just fucking opened. That's why. But eventually, I'm sure they will find a good, creative, and profitable way to incorporate Halloween into Mario Land.
Oh, yeah, for
Luigi's
sure.
Mansion?
The skeleton ghosts,
the
turtles.
Skeleton fucks.
Yeah.
Bowser's Castle, duh.
It's going to be dope.
No, I'm excited. I save up all year for the RIP, the rest in peace, the fucking VIP pass, their version of
the
it.
The RIP, the VIP.
The DDD.
The
FCC.
The FCC. The DDD.
So, yeah, we'll see. There's some cool maze I'm looking forward to and some that I'm not. Like, I heard the Chucky maze is garbage. The Exorcist, they have, like, some aroma.
So we got Exorcist, Chucky.
They got Last of Us. They have a couple of original IPs they do every year. They have one. They always do one Universal Monsters with the soundtrack done by Slash. That's, like, a weird thing they do every year.
Yeah.
This year, it's Phantom of the Opera, Dr. Jekyll, Dorian Gray. Like, all the...
Dude, the last time we went... it was Ronnie and I, Matt and Alia, and we didn't pay for VIP. It was fucking miserable, dude.
Yeah.
We were waiting
My time is so valuable, like, because there's waiting 3 hours.
Yeah. No, like, my time is so valuable.
Dude, my time. Like, I would rather pay whatever amount to, like, skip those 3 hour lines.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, there's a 2.5-3 hour wait. Then you have the express that's like 45 minutes. And then you have the VIP, which is like 10 seconds, and you just walk right in.
And it is like...
People give you the worst looks. Like, they fucking hate it.
Bitch, I paid.
Yeah, I know, right?
I've only gone once, and it was the VIP thing. And yeah, it's also, there's that, the Schadenfreude. You know what I mean?
Schadenfreude.
It's Schadenfreude I need you. No, it's like the Titanic. Like, you see everyone else, and you're like, fucking.
Yeah, fuck you,
dude, idiots. When I see these lines, I literally record them. I'm like, look at this.
You guys That's suck. What I see. I knew I wasn't alone. I mean, it's a fuck. Because they're like forcing you to do the VIP. They're like, you know, trust, like, you know, the majority of people will just be glad to be there, but they're going to be able to go to two of the fucking places.
Yeah.
Right? That's fucked up.
Yeah, and it was a miserable fucking experience.
Yeah.
I think we went through the, I think it was an Exorcist house thing. I think it was like an hour and a half, and I was so pissed off.
And waiting that waiting that long is going to make you hate the maze no matter what. It will be like brilliant. See
walking through the maze just pissed off.
When you walk right in, you're like, that was pretty fun. Let me go on again. Yeah. Like, let me go two more times.
Let's go again.
Yeah.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
I've always been a fan of the tram tour. And this year and last year, I don't think they changed it, but it's you actually get to go through the actual Jupiter's Claim, the whole entire town, the whole set.
I forgot to mention that because, you know, we went, Sophia and I, hi, Sophia. She and I went to the Nintendo Land thing when it opened up. And the tram thing at night is fucking dope.
Oh, the tram, is my favorite part of the whole place.
I hadn't been in so many years, so they really revamped it. But yeah, we went through Jupiter's Claim. It was fucking cool.
Yeah, did you get to walk, like stop and walk or anything?
No,
okay.
But seeing the Psycho House at night, because I'd been to the tram tour, but it's way better at fucking night.
Mm-hmm.
It was way better.
Yeah, I think the time that I went with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, we did the night tram. The Psycho House is super dope at night.
Yeah,
it was. Fun. Dude.
And then so that's what it is during Halloween Horror Nights. During Halloween, it doesn't have to be VIP. Like, you actually get off and get to walk up to the house, the Norman Bates house, take a picture and everything.
Really?
Yeah, you get to walk literally around the whole perimeter of the Bates Motel. The Bates Motel gets transformed into a haunt.
There it is, dude. See, dude? Look, that's me, dude. Right there, dude. Damn, bitch. So, yeah, so they juice it up on the tram for Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, they do that. And there's some mazes far out there you have to walk or take the tram tour.
When are they going to have an actual mass shooting during the Halloween event?
Good question.
No, but
hopefully not this year.
Hopefully not this time.
Hopefully, yeah, not this Sunday.
No, I'm sorry, that's a terrible
hopefully
question.
Not this Sunday.
I just feel, speaking of mass shooting, no, I'm just kidding. That's not a segue into anything. No, but, okay, dope.
Yeah, what movies you been watching?
Now it works. Speaking of mass shootings, I rewatched The Dark Knight Rises.
Fire.
In theaters. Rises.
Not in theater. I watched it, Dark Knight Rises, at home in anticipation for watching The Dark Knight.
Oh, that's
theater.
Right, yeah, the other TDK.
But, dude, Dark Knight Rises, the first hour and a half is fucking dope. That last hour, except the last, and then it redeems itself the last 10 minutes. Besides long, it's fucked, dude. Like, the whole reveal with Marion Cotillard, who is...
Yeah, I always forget her. She's in it every time I watch it.
Very miscast, in my opinion. And then, like, how Bane goes out. And then the last fight between him and Bane is just laughable.
How about the fight choreography?
At Wall Street? Oh, dude, that shit is whack.
What? It's crazy.
Yeah.
I want to be like, oh, no, it's been aging well. Like, no, that last hour is really, really not good. However,
most of the Selena Kyle stuff at the end is like,
except that ass, man.
Well,
I'm just kidding. No, but
it's something, I don't know why, because like Tenet's fight choreography, fucking awesome. And then you know, TDKR, fucking.
The fight itself, like the centerpiece,
is the one on one, is dope. Yeah.
Except there's one where he turns around and does like a Power Ranger type, like,
yeah,
and he makes no contact.
Any movie where someone has to spin to do a move or something, you're like, come on, man.
It's like, Yeah, but either way, I don't want to go down this fucking rabbit hole. So we rewatched that, but I did go down a rabbit hole about the Aurora shooting because Sophia didn't know about it. And then I was going about, there was the night of...
Oh, right, in the theater.
In Colorado. Yes. The guy showed up with riot gear.
The guy with the pink hair.
And riot gear and tear gas.
Yeah.
And then I was just like reviewing. There's some bad juju about this fucking, this trilogy, because I mean, Dark Knight is obviously linked with Heath Ledger's death. And then this one, it's like, oh, we got none of that. Oh, we got a mass shooting. Never mind. And at that time,
yeah,
that had the most fucking like casualties in a in an American mass shooting until
every year since then.
it's
like, fuck.
Anyway, it was just, it was crazy. But then, did you guys ever fucking see the fucking Sandy Hook thing in this movie?
No, what?
Google Sandy Hook Dark Knight Rises, and it is fucking weird, because this is several months before the Sandy Hook shooting, and I'm not fucking trying to be like any, I'm just saying it is fucking weird, and I don't know if it's some weird ass, they have a part where Gordon is talking about like, we're going to be over here and blah, 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 and he's pointing to a map, and the map, when he points to it, it says Sandy Hook on the map. And you're like, what the fuck's that got to do with anything? A few months later was the shooting at Sandy Hook. The night it came out was the mass shooting. And I think they're programming MK Ultra motherfuckers to go do some shootings.
You know what the movie's trying to tell you to do?
What?
Open your balls, dude.
It's trying to tell you. And then like Alex Jones is a big like misdirect, because he's like, oh, this shit's not real. It's like, okay, yeah, it's not real. So it's real, but they're programming MK Ultra mind slaves to do it. So now you got everyone fucking really confused.
If you believe it, you're aligned with Alex Jones.
Exactly. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
I see what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's more fucking counter. It just keeps going and going.
Well, right. It's like the whole adrenochrome thing. Like,
exactly. It's only Democrats. If you believe that, then you like Trump. No, yeah. I don't. I just think they're really bored billionaires that are fucking like ramming kids' skulls for the stuff, you know? I think so. I hope so. Because it would confirm my theories about...
you just want to be right.
It'd be a good story, I guess.
No, either way, in all seriousness. Look, it is a weird...
As an owner of two children, look, yes, sometimes I do want to harvest their adrenochrome.
So you can have skin that doesn't sag?
Right.
So I don't think that can't be the only reason. There has to be more to
There's got
to
be more benefit to there's adrenochrome gotta be, than just like tight yeah. skin.
So...
Dark Knight Rises, yeah. though, yeah. I mean, the whole prison...
If it makes your dick grow, take them both.
The whole prison stuff is dope. When what Bane tells him in the prison is fucking heavy as fuck. Like, that's probably some of the most...
The stadium imploding.
That shit's dope.
That stuff's amazing.
And then he's like, who can disarm this bomb? And he's all, only me. Only you. And he breaks his neck. It's like, I love this. This is oppressive. Like, this is the most, like, oppressive... That a box office movie can get.
Yeah. Fire rises.
Yeah, I love all that.
Anyway,
so we
you only
for you
shadows.
Yeah. What does he say? Freaking deception and theatricality. Yeah. Useful tools to the uninitiated.
That would be painful.
I didn't know that opening shit with the airplane was practical. I mean, fucking obviously makes sense now going back thinking of Christopher Nolan, but like, man, that's crazy.
Well, see, and then fucking watching Game of Thrones and then going back and seeing that's Littlefinger in the fucking in the plane.
It's like, what the fuck? You're a big guy. Yeah, it's weird. Because I hadn't seen Game of Thrones at that time.
Ben Mendelsohn's in it for a second.
Ben Mendelsohn, it's one of the best scenes in the movie. I get so giddy when he's like, nope, stay here. I'm in charge. And then Bane puts his hand on his shoulder. He's like, do you feel in charge? And it's like this guy, whole scene. And Sophia was looking at me like, what? Why are you rewinding it? I'm like, what do you mean?
So it's Ben Mendelsohn.
This is obviously like a guy scene. This is not something like the chicks
It's a guy movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And then anyway, so we saw they re-released the Dark Knight trilogy for Batman Day in theaters, and the Dark Knight we saw it in the theater.
There's a goddamn Batman
in IMAX, right?
Huh?
Was it IMAX?
No, they didn't do it IMAX, which is fucked. Yeah. But Batman Day is when they're commemorating. He came out in 1939, so he's like 84 years old now, and it's September. It's a specific day in September. So there's been a Batman Day, and there should be. If there's a fucking alien day, there's a Batman Day. I hate to tell you.
What's the date, though?
I don't fucking know offhand, man. All I know
it's probably the day you saw the movie, right?
Well, the movie's playing. The movie's playing multiple days.
Okay.
Yeah, don't fuck like that. No. But so, The Dark Knight. I hadn't seen it in a theater.
What day is Alien Day, dude?
Huh?
What day is Alien
May Day? May something?
4/26, brother.
April 26th.
4/26.
So birthday. You like Alien more than I like Batman? Yes, correct. You're right.
No, that's not true.
Oh, that's not true.
You like Alien as, or you like Batman as much as I like Alien, I would guess.
I like. I like The Dark Knight, which is fucking, this is not news. The movie remains a fucking, like, iconic masterpiece, and I had not seen it in a theater since 2008 when it came out. And I, you know what? I cried twice. Not because it's emotional, because it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
It was so fucking good. Because it keeps doing, it's like, oh, now we got this scene. Probably no less than 5 times Sophia's next to me. I'm like, oh, this scene. Oh, this scene. Oh, this
and
scene.
She's and she's like, shut the fuck up.
No. Yeah. She really was like blown away by it because she didn't remember seeing it in a theater.
Yeah, there's parts like Fury Road for me where I get like, oh my gosh, like it's too good.
You know? It's fucking really good. Yeah. And part of me, I love like Nolan's post 2010 output mostly, but I do like what the work he did with his brother with this film. You can feel, having watched like the first 2 seasons of Westworld and seeing how Jonathan Nolan can go pretty fucking dark and pretty fucky with his head stuff, like his mind fuck stuff. And there's a lot of intricate layers here, and I think a lot of that is because him and his brother wrote this screenplay. But anyway, just great fucking movie still. I love it.
Shit. What else did you check out?
Not much else, honestly, because school has been crazy. And I mentioned it to you outside of the stuff on the pre-show, but I'm anticipating doing this volunteer work for the child bereavement thing, which is coming up. Oh, Scouts Honor. It's a documentary. They had one on.
I thought it was going to say Scouts Honor, dude. I promise not
to. No, definitely not. They already had a documentary expose of the Boy Scouts and all the diddling going on.
Are the Boy Scouts still not good?
They're definitely not good.
Fuck.
And no, but they had one on Hulu about a year or two ago, and now
like a non-rapey thing that I can take my kids to?
No, watch this. Show them this so to protect them. So it's on Netflix. Did one?
Damn it!
It's about the Boy Scouts history of diddling, and not just the Boy Scouts. It's about like,
this is the second one you've watched on this.
This is new on Netflix. Okay, it's new and it's better. Because
damn, bigger and better.
Bigger and better and more in depth. And guess who else they mentioned? The motherfucking Mormons. And so therefore, no, I'd highly recommend it because it just shows how many people were complicit with this shit for like 100 years. It's like it's the best possible setup for diddlers. Like, oh, you want me to volunteer to go hang out with little boys like in the woods? Okay. I guess I have time for that. It's diddle fucking paradise, dude. And like,
in paradise.
So yeah, that's another American institution that's full of shit.
Fuck.
And then Sophia and I saw Modest Mouse and the Pixies, and it was fucking dope. Don't make that face.
Now we got 2 shows coming up in November, back to back.
I have a newfound respect for the Pixies, by the way. Because I'd seen them at a festival before at the end of the day, like way far away. Mm-hmm. But seeing them closer and at their own show. Oh, and Paz Lynchanton is the bassist now. And she's fucking dope.
Okay.
What are the 2 shows coming up?
Yeah, Meshuggah and Black Midi.
The same week.
We're going to go. Who's getting tickets tomorrow?
The ticket, you. What do you mean?
Like, who's purchasing them?
The Patreon.
No. I don't mean that. I mean literally clicking yes tomorrow.
Yes, I'll click yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I will send you some money for that.
If you guys are going, I'll probably go to Black Midi, and then have to decide if I could do Meshuggah both back to back.
It's not only the same week, it's like back to back. One's on Tuesday, one's on Wednesday.
I'm down for Black Midi.
Not in the Meshuggah?
I just don't.
Both of them are heavily autistic in their own ways. And that's why we'll be going to both. Yeah. That's literally, we watched a couple Dark Knight movies and Boy Scout diddle thing.
Diddle Fest?
And the Pixies were dope as fuck.
Okay. What about you, little homie?
Oh, I watched...
I wasn't ready for this question.
I finally got Courtney to watch a movie that's really big in our household, like my siblings, my parents. We all love it. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the 8th Dimension.
Do you think you talked about this last week?
No, we just watched it. I think it might have been something else.
Why do we? I do remember this.
That is weird.
I'm not trying to be a dick, dude.
It was a different movie. Or maybe we didn't finish it. But anyway, we watched it.
You watched it.
And
fuck it, we'll do it live.
I think you did talk about it because I was gonna talk about I was gonna talk about Ready Player One and it slipped my mind.
What the fuck? I might have been like the day right before I recorded, so it feels like it was within the...
Well, Mateo was here. We were all, you know, speaking of which, it was nice to have Matt here, but when I was driving over here, I was getting all anxious, and then I remembered, wait a minute,
Matt's not here.
God damn.
Well, no, because, dude, it says stuff about me, not really Matt. Like, it was just like, oh, fuck,
man.
Fuck.
Oh, wait a minute.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good. Oh, we're not going to get into anything
tonight.
There's
not going to be any confrontation cool. right now.
So I guess I only watched two movies then. one of them was this movie that was starting to get a little hyped. Going back and watching the trailer, I realized all of like the critic quote grabs are like really small media outlets. It's going to be overhyped mess, but it's a little movie, Australian exploitation film called Beaten to Death.
And we were looking forward to this.
Yes, because there's two movies that kind of surprised us recently. It's this one and what the fuck is that serial killer one?
The European one.
Yeah, fuck.
I'll get back to you.
But yeah, these two movies came out of nowhere and have very quick release turnaround with the release date. So this just came out on digital.
Megalomaniac.
Yeah, Megalomaniac. So I'm hoping that one will be good.
And, well, it at least be extreme. But
extreme, yeah.
It could be extreme and boring.
Beaten to Death is advertised as this 90-minute, just unrelenting, just montage of violence, you know. And
hence the title.
Yeah, and it's true. It is 90 minutes of a guy getting beaten to death. It's like 90 minutes of a man crawling, screaming in pain. And there's like a body count of like 4, and it's not good. It's really not good.
It's just like a 90-minute torture scene.
No,
not even.
It's like 20. It's like 20 minutes of him getting the shit kicked out of him and then surviving and him writhing in pain and surviving the outback.
Crawling across
into the next
like Outback Steakhouse?
Yeah, to the next encounter where he also gets savagely beaten by the
bloomin' onion. He's like, oh,
dude, it's like that. It's in the quality was like fucking 8K resolution. It was so nice that it broke the illusion where I'm like, I'm on a film set.
There's no grittiness.
There's no grittiness. The blood looks so fucking fake when it's like this real looking in front of your face. Like, I'm like, whoa, this just looks way too just synthetic, you know? And the punches just, yeah, it just didn't have any of, like, if this was like on a VHS tape and it was all grimy and shit from the 70s, it could probably be some fucking cult classic like Henry Porch of a Serial Killer, maybe.
If it was 50 years old and grimy.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah, literally, like...
And good.
That would probably fix it. Like, but really, no, it's not even fix it, but it would make it more watchable because I did not have a good time with it.
Huh.
And I was stoned out of my mind. I was like, this is going to be fucking crazy, but it was literally a mess. And
how many stars out of 5?
Like a half a star for me.
Woo!
Like 1 star. There's like moments where I'm like, that's pretty brutal, but it's just punching people in the face over and over. The special effects aren't even that impressive, you know.
The scenes you sent looked bad.
There's like a 5-minute flashback of him and his wife all happy
in the group text.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta look at him.
It was just a 5-minute sequence of like his wife playing guitar and singing like the first day they met, and it's like, dude, she's like singing a full song, and I'm like, okay, dude. And then
it's not good.
Yeah, it's something.
Not just like there was she's singing. What's
there's
wrong?
Like no, it's not good. 20 scenes where they like slowly fade to black. Like and there's a weird camera things where this guy had a check mark. Like, you know what would be really cool to have in this movie? This camera shot and this camera shot and this one and
fortune, fame, mirrors, fame.
But never mind. So I watched that.
Fade to black. That's. I don't know. How does the actual Metallica Fade to Black song go?
I don't know, but we were thinking about
singing the other one. Well, yeah. Memory remains.
La da 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 da.
Damn.
Da 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 da.
90s Metallica is the best Metallica. It's the,
but like Slash that, worse.
That's a hot take. That's the hottest take.
Damn.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Then one other movie. I was on the lookout for something to watch when Courtney, I took her home. It was just me and I just took a bunch of edibles. I wanted to find like the ultimate like documentary to watch. Yeah. Like not like cheesy, like, oh, I'm going to watch Planet Earth. Like I wanted to find something crazy. So I discovered this is a movie I've been wanting to watch, and it's called Koyaanisqatsi.
Oh yeah, dude! That's good for you.
Christian Bale. I'm like really behind on this. It's probably like film nerds. Like, oh, I fucking watched this in film school or something.
Yeah,
some
but that's
shit.
Not most of the people listening to this.
Yeah, it's true.
But I just want to talk about Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
Terrifier. We all know you guys, dude. Friday the 13th, Terrifier, yeah. Jason X.
This is no Terrifier. This is a 90-minute non-narrative documentary where there's no dialogue. It's just shots, camera shots.
Woo!
And honestly, one of the greatest fucking film scores I've ever heard in my life.
Philip Glass.
Yeah, dude.
And I haven't seen it, dude. I'm glad you but fucking reminded me.
I'll tell you, when you watch it, you will recognize the music because it's used everywhere. Like half of the Watchmen soundtrack is from this movie. Wow. Like I was like, whoa, like there's the
Reznor Watchmen soundtrack or the movie?
The
Watchmen
movie. Oh, yeah, like shit. All the shit with Dr. Manhattan. Like, that's literally Philip Glass's music from this documentary.
Holy shit.
And like I said, I wouldn't even call it a documentary, but there's a theme. It's like, it starts off with nature and it shows technology and colonization and building fucking New York City, but just the footage they have and him finding the beauty in life, like the opening with this crazy, like fucking Oppenheimer score. And you're like, what's this fire and ice going on in the screen? It's all zoomed in. And you realize it's a fucking rocket launch. And it's just like flames and inferno. And it's going up. And then you're like, it's zoomed in really high detail, 4K. And then it explodes. And you realize you're watching the Space Shuttle Challenger. And you're like, holy shit. Like,
that's dope.
Dude, it's.
And then it pans out even more and you realize you're watching a fucking toaster oven.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking nuts. And then after that, I watched the second one, Koyaanisqatsi or something.
What? The second one?
Yeah, there's three of them. It's a trilogy.
Jesus Christ.
And the second one, there's music I recognize too, like the scenes from like the Truman Show. I took a bunch of tracks from this one and I don't know, but it's literally like...
So film scholars and auteurs are all over this shit.
This movie, I could tell the score and the film itself, like cinematography, are probably like incredibly influential for so much shit. Like, I felt like I was watching like Stanley Kubrick doing a documentary with the score of like Hans Zimmer's like Interstellar. There's shit that's like with the organs and stuff. Like,
so it's a vibe.
You gotta watch
it. It's a vibe.
Like, it's fucking so crazy.
It sounds like it.
Sounds like
I watched it twice. Edibles? Yes, I watched one and two, and then the next day I watched one again. So
you know what's funny? So like now when we have Weed Guy Talk,
mm-hmm.
I'm really interested.
Exactly.
Where before when we had Weed Guy Talk, I'm like,
it's great. Almost like it's not the drug, it's the person.
Exactly. So I want to watch these two things now, and I'm like, I'm super in. And then you zoom out, and it's fucking us recording a podcast.
Well, likewise. Like, you drink while we're recording the show. You'll drink a couple beers or
true.
Something. True. If I was actively drinking while we did the show, you would be listening to someone blacking out and spitting. and spitting. So it's not the drug. It's the person.
Ah, gotcha. You gotcha.
You know?
Yeah. Understood.
Not everything works the same.
True. You
know? Right. All right. So
that's it. That you good? Video games. That's
still
it.
Still playing Mortal Kombat. Still
Mortal
dope.
Kombat. Cyberpunk.
Mortal Kombat on the Switch sucks.
Yep. Oh yeah.
You know what doesn't suck on the Switch? Vampire motherfucking Survivors. Get on it.
Oh, gotcha. I should do that. No, should. I don't have time for
you
that
and
right
Sophia
now.
Could play.
I know.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
It's so brain dead, dude. Like, yeah.
No, I know. I just haven't even picked. I haven't even touched. Like, I haven't even touched it.
I can't even conceptualize my Switch.
Exactly.
Holy shit.
My fingers don't work that
we
way
finished,
right now.
We finished the Netflix series, The Watcher. Jesus Christ almighty.
That's bad news, man.
Stop it, Netflix. Get some fucking help. Dude, I'm so sad that Reservation Dogs is ending soon.
Really?
Because that fucking show kills me every time. Every episode, I'm like, no, they can't be this relatable anymore. And then there's an episode about this girl who has never met her dad and meets him at like age 17. I'm like, that's me, dude. Fuck. Love that show. Highly recommended.
After that's done, you're going to watch This Fool?
I will never watch This Fool, ever.
I much prefer This Fool.
Actually, you would like Reservation
Dogs. I know, I started it, but it wasn't the right time for it, but I could tell it was good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then Invasion continues to be terrible for one-third of the show. And okay for two-thirds. So do not recommend, but I'm going to finish it.
And you're going to finish it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Of course. Of course. Fire rises.
Of course.
Have we started the fire?
The fire rises.
that shit's fucking great.
You're not going to watch any of these spinoffs for your favorite show?
Walking Dead?
Walking Dead?
Zombie Apocalypse?
God, dude, I'd have to watch like four seasons of Walking Dead that I didn't watch.
Oh, damn.
And then catch up with like Fear of the Walking Dead. And
no,
then
don't
catch,
do it.
Well, so I'm not.
Okay, good.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, if you're listening to this to see like, oh, I wonder if they talk about The Walking Dead, you know. That's not what this is.
Wrong
what,
show, dude. Wrong show.
You got the wrong one. We're going to talk about... Cause how do you pronounce it?
Koyana Scottsdale.
Yeah. Oh, I do want to mention though. It's a bit of news. It's newsy as well. But did you guys saw that A24 is re-releasing some of their horror films for October?
What are they re-releasing?
They're re-releasing into theaters. They're re-releasing The Witch. I saw the specific ones.
I'm in.
They're re-releasing X, which is like, we just saw that in theaters. Yeah. But nonetheless, that's building up to Maxine, obviously.
Yeah.
They're re-releasing Midsommar.
Oh, that's good.
And it's the director's cut.
Woo!
And they're re-releasing Under the Skin.
Whoa.
That was in theaters for sure. I was working in the theater. It was there for like 2 weeks.
Dude, I really regretted not. That's one of my favorite movies of this century.
We saw that in theaters, and I was mind blown.
Hypnotized.
It was just an unbelievable film.
Dude, I want to watch. And he's got, the director's got a new film coming out later this year, by the way, which I hope doesn't fucking steal the thunder of Nolanisto.
I never got around to watching Under the Skin.
Oh, brother. It's... look, can I tell you? Like, there are certain movies that, like, you know, they come by and you're like, oh, it's just fine. I'll get to that one eventually. Get to that one, man.
Yeah.
Because it is... It has got one of the most brutal scenes I think I've ever watched in a film.
Psychologically and physically.
Yeah.
It's something else. It's new.
And it somehow manages to have a naked Scarlett Johansson be completely devoid of
sex appeal.
Like sex appeal.
It's predatory.
It's an unbelievable film. And I don't think I had the presence of mind to really speak about that film when we talked about it on the show, because I was like fighting like two idiots being mad about it. But I would love to talk about that movie again.
It's fucking fantastic. I'm glad I never watched it at home, because now I could watch it in theaters.
Watch it in theater. And if you wanted, did you do it on the show already?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we can revisit it.
Yeah. I would love to talk about it again in a more, I don't want to say it.
No, but man.
In a more like respectful way.
Well, yeah, there you go.
And did you guys see the director's cut for Midsommar?
No, I want to see that.
Because I saw it in theaters, actually.
I didn't see it in theaters, but I saw it at home.
Yeah. It's good.
But I want to see all three of those.
I'm going to see all.
I won't be seeing.
Yeah, all of them but X. Yeah, I'll probably watch
it. And I like X, but no.
The Witch was the first A24 film I think we ever watched.
On the show?
Yeah. And so that was like almost like,
Robert Eggers, dude.
Yeah, when I saw that for like the third time in theaters, this is when I was working at the movie theater. I just see it as many times as I want. One day I brought the fucking subtitles, like little machine thing you hook up, and those things are great. And like I've only seen two movies with the subtitles, but it's great because I get to understand the old English fucking dialogue and stuff in The Witch. And I also did it for Fury Road because they have this weird slang and shit in that movie.
Schlanger?
Yeah.
Jonathan Glazer, the director for Under the Skin, he's only done three movies. Sexy Beast is cool. Birth, I've never seen, actually, and that reminds me I should watch it because it got mixed up.
Sexy Beast is...
Ben Kingsley,
that's
right. It's an interesting movie. Huh. The thing is, he came from music videos, and he made some of the best music videos ever, basically, with Karma Police for Radiohead. He did the Jamiroquai video, fucking the Virtual Insanity one. He directed videos for Massive Attack. So for me, Under the Skin is when like the promise of that like kind of actually materializes in a film for me. But and he's got like his first movie since Under the Skin coming out later this year called The Zone of Interest. And the fucking consider me in the zone of interest. And I hope it doesn't steal the thunder of fucking Nolan and Yorgos and Scorsese, but you never fucking know. It might.
Yeah.
Because he's rather dope.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
All right, idiots. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about a little movie.
Okay.
Oh, Dark Knight.
All sorts of shit.
All sorts of stuff.
There was something I wanted to mention to you.
What did you want to mention?
I forgot.
Oh, no. Did you want to mention Patreon?
I do want to mention Patreon. www.whogoestherepodcast/shit.
Can you start that over?
You can't.
No,
you
I cannot.
You won't do it.
I cannot, and I won't.
patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
That's the one.
Is where you can become privy to exclusive content, such as that was recorded right before this, and most shows. We also... I can't make it all the way through. like a really verbose Southern gentleman.
Well, you could be privy to that which was recorded before and that which might be recorded after. We don't know.
You might be privy to that which might never be recorded. You get exclusive content. There's exclusive episodes. Recently.
Remember when we used to do Who Goes There After Dark?
Yeah, you did do that.
That was fun.
Yeah, we recently did exclusive episodes for... we did RoboCop 2 and we did Short Circuit 1 and 2 with that. We need to do a merch thing. And we're going to be at Christmas before we know it.
Yeah.
So we're going to do all that. And upcoming, speaking of which, we want to thank our Patreon members as always. But people have been giving submissions for what they want to do for a Patreon episode. So the way this is going to go is they've been on Discord and on the Patreon app and giving us suggestions, and then we put all those together. Then we're going to pick a few finalists via randomizer. Then we're going to throw up on Instagram. We're going to put those up on the stories on Instagram and let the public weigh in and select the final film. So thank you very much for those. We've got like Swamp Thing up there so far, which is interesting. People really seem to be lobbying around Swamp Thing. Wes Craven's 1982.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
I don't think I've ever actually seen it. Troll 2, which has some heat behind it. The director of Martyr's other film, Incident at Ghostland, which I've never fucking seen. That reminds me, I want to watch that regardless if we do it on the show or not.
I don't have an opinion one way or the other, but I would... Well, maybe I do. I would rather not watch Troll 2. But that's all I'm
because
saying.
It's amazing.
I think because I've already watched it and I'm
everyone's gonna vote for it and be like veto.
No, I won't veto shit, man. I know I have ultimate veto power. I've never wielded it.
We could make it a thing,
American.
But Werewolf. It's already a thing. Like, what else can you say about it? I kind of get where you're coming from.
American Werewolf is one of them.
American Werewolf in London, not in Paris.
Werewolf.
You want to do the Paris one because of the 90s?
I'd do the boy.
But yeah, there's a $1 tier. You can become Patreon for $1.
One day.
Yeah, I would recommend neither of those, but you can. And then the $5 one, the $10 tier, the $20 tier. King Hans is our current king of the Patreon. And
we have a very active Discord.
Very active Discord.
Join us. It's fun. Just talk about movies, get to know everybody. Meet some of them in real life, which was crazy.
Which is always a... Yeah, fucking scary proposition.
Why?
It just is.
Yeah. You just never.
We've done
know.
A Patreon hangout. You've done several in the past. Yeah,
I have.
Yeah, Kim. I guess we'll talk about that off air.
Okay.
What about Frights and Pints, dude?
We could do a Frights and Pints. We just have to find a place and willing participants because it's hard doing it by yourself.
I see. Yes.
Yes.
www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
Excellent. Alrighty. Well, the Who Goes There Podcast watched 1989's Communion.
Yeah, we did. You guys suggested this last minute while we were leaving last week.
Directed by Philip Mora and written by Whitley Strieber, which... kind of blew my mind when I was about halfway through this movie, because he kept being referred to as Whitley, and I go, is this?
That's him.
Is that?
That's the one.
Is that motherfucking Whitley Strieber from Coast to Coast AM? Sure enough, that's him. Starring Christopher Walken, Lindsay Krause, Francis Noggin, Andres Katsoulas, Terry, and a bunch of other people who gives a shit. Hey Jacob, what'd you think of Communion?
It's a movie. It was not the movie I was expecting when I watched it.
There's no way to expect this movie.
The first line is Christopher Walken saying a knock knock joke, like holy shit, like, and then he's saying shit like, oy vey, what a day, what a schmear. Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's some blue gnome fucking, I don't know, but it's something, dude. And I wasn't expecting a movie like this to be played as straight as it was. And I love movies with, even if it's unintentional, something as absurd as this being played straight, like a family drama. And I gotta say, in the end, I kind of fucking like this movie, and like I could easily watch it again because mm-hmm. it's doing some shit. Like the fucking Christopher Walken is cooking in this movie.
I'm cooking.
He's cooking, dude. And he has literally. He has too much power in this movie because he's commanding every scene. And
he has too much power.
Yeah.
The director's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's like Nicolas Cage.
This movie, Lieutenant.
Well, no, I was thinking Vampire's Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
They almost completely refuse to shift the point of view away from him. He's on screen for 99% of every scene, and it's amazing. Because I haven't seen too many Christopher Walken movies where he's the main role like this. Mm. So, I mean, there are plenty from the 90s and 80s, but for me, this is one of the first where he is just there for 90 minutes straight. And it was a treat for me. I liked it. Yeah, it's not, it's something, but I know.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's up to you, man.
I don't know your call, dude.
No, it's you.
I don't like this, dude. I don't know, dude.
You could say it's not good. You can't say you don't like it. It's the opposite of what it usually is.
Normal. I don't like this, dude. I think I'm not having fun, which is it the intent to have fun with this movie?
It doesn't matter.
I know. Like I know like Christopher Walken is doing his thing, and this is based off Whitley Strieber's life off of the book and everything. I nobody has a full conversation in this whole goddamn film.
Good.
They will end conversations in the middle of a sentence and then just move on to the next scene, which I think is fine if you're like really leaning into the absurdist notion of a film but I don't ever fully buy into that aspect of it. Secondarily, this kid should be eradicated from the human species.
I was hoping you would actually think this is one of the better kids
fucking,
in movies.
He fucking sucks.
He's great. He says great shit like, what are we doing out here?
He's talking like an adult.
Yeah, because he's parentified.
Father, listen to me, father.
That's fucking dope.
Father, listen to me, father.
He's parentified at a young age.
I fucking hate this kid. I fucking
you always
hate
the kid.
He won the Kids' Choice Awards, I think. Or some shit. Like, he won, like, best kid actor.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he won some
What, like,
kid.
From Nickelodeon?
I don't know. Maybe not Kids' Choice, but he won some kid acting award.
Well, if he was, if he won according to kids, that's...
The wife fucking sucks. Like, the
wife's hats are dope. Her clothes, her boots.
Most supportive wife ever.
Yeah, dude. Like, she's literally... There's scenes where she's like, I've had it. I've had it with this fucking marriage. Next scene...
How are the aliens?
I mean, that's, but the aliens are besides the point, man. Like, I understand what the aliens are doing. They're like a facade for the actual thing, and you know, it's more,
that's what you think, well, dude.
And it's more layers.
It's deep. A Chinese box.
Yeah. I got that. That part.
That's fucking dope.
That's not the part I'm complaining about.
You're talking about the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I got you. Yeah.
And
that's the beauty of this film.
I'm watching it, and I go, man, this is like a movie Taylor fucking made for me. It's like a very, like, cusp of the 90s film about aliens that's about Whitley Strieber, who I listened to for hours on Coast to Coast AM when I was a child.
Mm.
He's
got a podcast now, by
this
the way.
Should resonate with me really, really strongly. And I'm just sitting there like, it's fucking Christopher Walken, man. It's an SNL skit. That's basically what it felt like.
Yeah, but okay. Okay, I got you. Okay. Are you good?
I'll let you cook now.
This movie cooks. Yeah, it does. Now, no, look, I hate to start with this, but I'm going to refer to two other... This is what two other people said, and I really agree. Communion isn't good by any known human standards. Correct. However, if we go with my high strangeness theory, that is that the movie is intentionally weird to invoke the feelings of an abductee in the viewer, then it's a smashing success. This other person, Communion does an excellent job recreating what ufologists call high strangeness, the hard-to-swallow aspects of an already hard-to-swallow phenomenon. This is like one of the more absurd fucking Hollywood productions I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And in no small part due to Christopher Walken, being Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
But this is like, when Jorge brought up the SNL thing, I agree, but this is like years before the SNL trope. This is just like happening. This is unfolding in real time in 1989. And then here's the other thing too. This was a movie where I saw parts of this as a kid and they stuck with me forever. And I know I'm good. I'll probably get flack. This movie alternates between being fucking unintentionally or intentionally hilarious, but definitely intentionally absurd. Then it feels very inept as a film, right? Like what you're talking about with and the writing and the conversations, right? But then when the alien shit starts happening, when it invokes the feeling of this high strangeness thing, like there is someone there, and they show the best grays I've ever fucking seen in a movie. Like, it's fucking scary to me. Like, I'm not saying the movie's scary in the normal sense, but like invoking the feeling of like gray aliens that are trying to probe you, it got me. And then like when they're having like the sleep paralysis shit and like the white lights coming in and then like she's awake but she's not, and then like all of that, I think all of that works really fucking well. And I've watched this movie 3 times now in the last year.
Whoa. This is too much.
It is too much, and it's not...
And not enough at the same time.
It's fucking... It's one of the weirdest Hollywood films I've ever fucking seen, and I actually think... It is unfortunate, like you're saying, Jorge, if I'm being very, like, literal, like, that it's not a better movie. But this does have the dude from The Fugitive who killed Richard Kimball's wife as his buddy showing up to a bar with a fucking... coonskin hat on for no reason.
It's cold, dude.
It's his hats are crazy. His clothes are crazy.
All the hats.
The 1989 clock is crazy. The fucking the kooky fucking psychologist lady they talk to
who looks like Black Panther in this motherfucker. Did you guys see that shit?
Yeah.
I was tripping out. I thought I was losing my mind a little bit.
Well, there's some of this which is just legit weirdo 80s time capsule stuff with the legit weirdo situation, that support group they go to, and like all these people. And it's like, regardless of the... I mean, I like the whole thesis of you can't pin down what it is, like it's over your head, but you have to learn how to live with it. Like that, I fucking think is effective.
Yeah.
I think that's
dope. It's not your typical, like, oh, I saw aliens, everyone thinks I'm crazy. He's struggling with it himself. Like
he thinks it's fucking
ridiculous. He doesn't believe it, and he thinks there's something wrong with him, and he's scared. And his little look spiraling out of it and just how it affects the family dynamics. I mean, it's not as well fleshed out because he kind of just steals every scene. It's just a one-man show for this whole movie, but
yeah,
it's really interesting to kind of see this more grounded approach to it.
I think the trouble I have with it Not that I need it to be more like I don't need it to be more real. That's not what I'm getting at. I think that like the relationship between the husband and the wife and the son is always absurd.
Yeah.
So there isn't ever like
it's never grounded.
It never grounds itself. So the entire time I'm like, well, these guys are fucking weird. All of them.
Yeah.
Like, even before the abduction stuff. So, I guess what that means is that it's like he's been suffering the abduction illness his entire life, so his entire psyche is fucked up from the get. But, from a viewer's aspect, I just find myself not liking anybody. I don't like anybody in this movie. I don't like Whitley. I don't like the son.
I love Whitley.
I don't like the fucking the wife. I mean, other than she's like supportive to a fault, there's nothing redeemable about her. There's nothing happy-go-lucky about this film other than the fucking troll aliens. And by that point, we're an hour and 30 minutes into this bitch, and I'm not caring, not chuckling at. We get to the dance scene where it's like, oh this is
hell yeah! It's fucking crazy.
It is fucking crazy. But by
all standards,
by that point in the film, I'm so like detached from interfacing with it, much like an anal probe,
that it's even crazier.
But it doesn't. It doesn't resonate with me at all.
Oh, no, you're right. Point. Emotionally, and no.
Not that it should.
No, it's just absurd. It's just bizarre. I like it.
It feels like an anomaly. You know what, dude? Movie.
And I can't fault you for that. I'm not.
You know what? I fault you, though. Because. No. Dude, there's no. That's why, actually, when I was watching this again, you mentioned, like, oh, good, I'll torture Ronnie with this. I'm like, I highly suggest. You don't do that. Like, have you seen the clips I've been sending you? Like, you didn't watch this with Ronnie?
No.
What? There would be no...
I feel like she would be entertained by it, at least us talking shit about it.
Right. How inept it was?
Yeah.
Well, and that's what gets me. Because I don't think it's not made just by pure idiots. Some of it has to be intentional. And no, that doesn't mean it's good or that you have to like it. But it's just like, I don't think it's all just straight up inept. Like, I think, again, like you mentioned that dancing scene. That shit is fucking eerie, dude, to me. I think it's because I'm fucking weird, like, newsflash. So, and also, like, I've had a fear of this since I was a kid. And you know, I guess maybe if people have, like, trauma and stuff, maybe it scratches other itches or something like that. I don't know, but, like... Those fucking scenes where he goes there, when he dresses up to go confront the shit, like, and drives back out there, yeah. Like, again, I really like all that stuff.
I did too. That's my favorite. I feel like the issue was that maybe for Jorge, like, they didn't take enough, like, liberties with the story. They were making a straight, like, full-on perfect adaptation of the book. They were like, all right, this is how they look like. We're going to do it like that instead of making it more digestible. They really did, like, okay, he's gonna have a dream about weird flying robots, we're gonna include that. Like,
well, I think you're talking about the structure of it too, right? Like you said, the conversations and the dialogue, there is never a sense of like freaking flow or completion to any of these
yeah things. That's what I get. To me, I think that's the just for me personally, I think the biggest downfall is that they're like, it's just a base level of absurd, and it never deviates from that. So there's no moment where I'm like, okay, well, this is what's like, you know, taking the pressure off of this. It's always like, well, we go from Christopher Walken scene to Christopher Walken scene, kids screaming, wife screaming, fucking therapist, fucking hypnotism scenes, and
none the of Halloween them. Party. That's Halloween fucking party great.
Where Mantis
the,
girl.
The yeah, wife, the Mantis girl the, pops out. And he's wife, like, what's the matter with you?
The wife is upset for what?
Well, that's after watching it three times. I'm glad you bring that up.
Yeah,
after watching it three times this fucking last year, I really think, I think she's upset because she doesn't, the same shit happened to her. She didn't get taken, but she had the sleep paralysis stuff. But she doesn't remember, which means it's been relegated where? To the unconscious, right? So whenever it's brought up, it pisses her off. It pisses her off. It evokes a fucking thing, which indicates that there's some awareness on a certain level that she's really, like, keeping down there. And this kind of, regardless of what it is, if someone has repressed something, that's kind of what would tend to happen. I don't want to sound too technical, right? But after a while, I think that part's intentional. And that's actually very believable.
What you're saying sounds great.
But the movie doesn't have a good job. But it
is far too competent for the movie. I think what you're saying and what we watched are two disparate things.
I'm seeing what I want to see in the crazy ass movie.
And, you know what? And sometimes that's art. Like I don't purport to.
What about when they stand in front of art at the end and talk directly to the camera?
Yeah.
Well, she's following
some of the camera work in this is
bro. Like, she's following the camera like with her eyes and with her head. There are times when she shifts like 20 degrees to look at the camera. It's like, holy fuck. Like, what were you doing?
She's not supposed to, but they're like, you know what? This is cool. Let's keep it in.
Just let her do it.
Just let everyone cook.
Well, and I want you to know, it's not just you, right? Like, it's this movie.
Oh, yeah, I looked at that afterward, and I was like, really?
This movie has a 38% and a 46% user score, but also, if you look at the IMDb, a 5.5. So this movie is not well-liked. And I think if... If I'm being...
And I like that.
And I like that. Because, no, it also flies in the face that, like, you know, personally, that I'm just, like, going with the consensus. This is, at the very least to me, this is a very interesting bad movie. This is a really fucking interesting bad movie with a fucking bonkers performance from fucking Christopher Walken. And if I try to lean into the whole thing about, like, was this dude actually probed and shit? I just love it. I love it! But yeah, it might be a really interesting bad movie.
I could see, like, I was thinking, like, my dream, like, my fantasy, like, readaptation, modernization of it. I was thinking, like, I think it would do better as a TV series. Oh, it could explore way more of the family dynamics and the trauma of all of it.
Flanagan.
I wrote it down. I wrote Mike Flanagan, I think, should do like an adaptation of something like this. That's what
I was telling Sophia. I said they should fucking adapt this.
I literally haven't written it.
You know what? What this felt like to me? It felt like an inverse Fire in the Sky, where
whoa. Okay, well, I'm gonna let you finish. So the Kanye West.
So Fire in the Sky had zero going on, right? Like
it had one good scene.
It had one good scene, a really
good fucking scene,
and it's a really good scene.
Yeah.
The flip side of that is a movie that has like a bunch of shit going on, and then like I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, we got the one scene at the end, but there's also the other abduction scene, and then there's also the other abduction.
It's too sporadic.
It's fucking crazy, I think, dude.
With all, like, you're listening to an album, you're like, oh, I like that 15 seconds. That's cool. Yeah.
I think with all of the alien abduction movies. But you're
like, yes.
Yeah, that's why I'll be patient with you, dude. I got what you were doing that part, so I'll stick around for the next 15 minutes.
It's like when somebody's like showing you their music and you're like, oh, just wait for the good part.
Yeah, like when you're telling people about Tool.
Yeah.
It really kicks in at the 8-minute mark.
This movie has some incredible visuals and shit. Like, I was wondering what soundtrack would you put to this if you muted the movie?
I wouldn't put Eric Clapton playing blues guitar. And that's what they
the theme song, yeah.
It's fucking crazy, dude. It's crazy. Like, they have Eric, it says original score by Eric Clapton.
That's nuts.
And it's actually like a really beautiful blues thing he's doing. That is completely at odds with this movie.
It's very jazzy.
Very, like, morose.
Yeah. And then it opens up to, like...
Is this pre-sun dying?
I think so. This his son saw this movie and jumped the fuck off the... He saw, you did the music for this, Dad? He's like, yeah, but I did this.
Fucking
watch Goodfellas instead.
And fucking yeets himself from a window. He's like, look, dude, New York is this is as bad as. Also, New York. Okay.
They live
in New York.
This is the most. Yes,
so chaotic in the
89 New York.
Motherfuckers have a Suburban living in New York and then a vacation home in the woods.
Well, after he, you know, managed to option his scripts for Wolfen. And fucking
did you see what he wrote?
He had some money in him. Yeah.
No, I mean,
we're gonna get to the horror cred here in a second. I mean,
the family, like, they've got a condo in a high rise in New York.
Fuck yeah,
which is, you know,
because he's Whitley Strieber. He did shit before getting butt fucked by aliens.
He wasn't rich. Like, Whitley Strieber wasn't a rich person.
Well, he was not. He was a successful writer. He was, like he just said, this guy wrote The Wolfen and The Hunger. The movie Wolfen's based on The Wolfen. And The Hunger is the fucking David Bowie vampire movie that's supposed to be really good.
Being a successful writer did not equal being rich.
Well, it equaled him being living in a fucking high rise in New York.
In maybe.
I think he was probably well, six figures.
Well, he like wrote it in the book. Like, I was fucking rich as shit.
I was so rich. I had a fucking Suburban in New York. We don't have those anymore. That's impractical.
I'm going to look up this bitch's net worth.
I listened to a little bit.
Whitley Strieber's net worth. Guess what it's estimated at?
What? $5 million.
Higher.
20.
Higher.
Oh. I don't know.
25 million.
Okay.
This motherfucker has a Suburban back then, dude. Right now, he's got fucking 200 Suburbans.
So, Whitley Strieber, back to the... Let's talk about the man himself. So...
Why does he have $25 million?
Yeah.
Because of Communion?
Communion was a
was a huge bestseller.
No, it said the most controversial New York Times bestseller was on the cover of the book. The book's pretty... The cover's dope. It's the actual, like, alien you see in the movie.
All right, this one says it's 8 million. Never mind. Who fucking knows? That's more like it.
But yeah, he was already, like, famous for those two books turned into movies before he even wrote Communion. So I'm assuming before even the events. Right. So the Christopher Walken you see in this movie, he's already successful.
Aside from the ones he uncovered from his childhood, ostensibly, yeah. Right?
Yeah, so that's interesting. He wrote a lot of fucking alien books. Like, that's been his only obsession ever since Communion. Like, he just released one this year, another alien book.
Well, and it is kind of... Here we go. It's going to be dorky. But he wrote about werewolves and vampires before. And so you could take it like, was he trying to work out what happened to him? But also, it's like, why do we write about fucking werewolves and vampires and aliens? So we're trying to process these unknown things, right? Like, you know, there's... It may sound like an obvious thing. There's a lot of fucking vampire stories. Yeah. And it's, like, started with folklore and all that. But that's, like... That makes the argument stronger, not weaker. Like, same thing with the werewolf stuff. Like, this stuff predates... It predates movies. It predates the fucking printing press. Like, the shit... Like, the whole... there was always... Not always, but for thousands of years, there's hundreds in the case of vampires, at least since fucking Vlad the Impaler. There's been vampire stories in the countryside. In the countryside of what is modern-day Romania. Mm. And then was Transylvania.
Dude, he is super prolific, my God.
Yeah. Because he's a fucking maniac. And he's
a weird guy. I listened to him, both his new podcast, Dreamland, The Edge of the World.
Yeah.
The name is because it's like the official spinoff. It was originally... Dreamland.
Oh, he's Catholic. That explains everything.
He got fucked by a priest, and then his memory covered it up with alien abduction.
He's trying to do the anal rape thing by the aliens.
I really thought the story was about that. Like, it's all just
projection.
You could read into it.
There's like a lot of open endedness there, right?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Literally open endedness.
Oh, he wrote The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fucking loaded, dude. He's in.
That's where the money came from.
He's with Roland Emmerich, dude.
He got the Roland Emmerich moon money.
Oh, also 2012.
Oh, that's your favorite. He's your idol.
He's fucking crazy.
Dude, this should resonate with me really well. What the fuck?
Cat magic. Well, and wait a minute.
He wrote a book called Jesus, A New Vision in 2021.
Well, I think we need to read that. No, I'm just
saying. Yeah, he came out with a book this year too, 2023 alien book called Them, I think.
Oh, dude, he's got a book about the Shroud of Turin. Holy fuck.
Well, of course he does.
Wow.
So also, Felipe Mora has a weird history. His movies are weird. I haven't seen any of them, but he's known for a career of alternately bad and strange movies.
Yeah.
Which is like, at least you got the strange part going. I mean, that's always, let's get it going, you know? But Did you see the editor of this, Jacob?
No.
You're going to fucking trip out. Because remember when we did a movie recently and there was a connection with the kid. In RoboCop 2, there was a connection to Land Before Time.
With the shitty little kid.
With the shitty little kid. Yeah. But then there was like the guy who wrote Short Circuit 2.
Yeah.
Also wrote fucking Tremors and shit like that. So check this out. No. Lee Smith, the editor of this, his filmography. Communion in 89. Guess what he did in 1990?
What?
RoboCop 2. So I don't know what's going on here, but it gets weirder. 98, The Truman Show. So something happened where he's like, I'm just going to fuck now. 2005, Batman Begins, The Prestige, The Dark Knight, Inception, The Dark Knight Rises, Interstellar.
He's the editor for Nolan.
And Dunkirk.
Wow.
He's the editor for Nolan all the way from Batman Begins up to Dunkirk.
Huh.
So wow. If you don't like this movie, then you don't understand good editing.
He's also got another alien book called Confirmation. So he really is dealing with his Catholic.
That's a thing. That's the sequel to Communion. He's dealing
with his Catholic stuff.
Well, and I think he's realizing that Catholicism is also a way of trying to deal with the unknown. That's what religion is, man. It's trying to deal with the unknown. That's what it is, man.
You know what to say about the
alien. Well, Nate, what's this? He has a little support group for the butt-fucking aliens. What's the support group for Catholicism? Well, it's Catholicism. It's a bigger support group. Like, they're like, hey, here's our story, and this is what we believe, and let's, like, fucking put the cathedral together. It's just a bigger support group, you know?
Hmm.
You know, that's what I think. So basically, you love the movie now.
No.
There's a lot of interesting stuff around this bad movie,
though. I like the lore of the movie more than I like the movie.
That's what I'm talking about. And Mia, look at that. I mean, is that not the best poster? Amelia, that's the best fucking poster of any movie ever.
Like Christopher Walken in a little cube down in the bottom there is the best.
Looking all contemplative.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his hand, he's good like that.
Well, and then he does a lot of he does a lot of Christopher Walken's.
There's a lot of visual.
Yeah, he'll stop and be all.
The visual body language is actually fucking.
He's walking. So at the end of the movie, he's walking into the alien ship, supposedly, and he's walking with the aliens. And he kind of does a thing at the camera. He's like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a scene where he's laughing when he first sees the aliens. And I guess he was actually laughing on set, like at the absurdity of like, what the fuck is this? And
it would have to be, yeah.
And then they kept it because it's like he looks like he's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
it's really naturalistic.
And then Whitley Strieber even said, he was like, yo, he told Walken, like, you're making me look fucking crazy. And that's what
you are.
That's what he said to him. He's like, well, if the shoe fits, then yeah.
Well, and also look, if the movie has its incompetencies. How much worse, how bad would this movie be if someone just played it straight with no, like, Walkenisms the whole time?
You'd have a rival with Charlie Sheen.
Fucking with that movie. That's not a good movie.
It's not.
It's the sweaty Charlie Sheen movie, right? It's the
sweaty Charlie Sheen one.
Yeah, he's very sweaty in that. That's all I remember as a kid is him being very sweaty. The
backward knees aliens.
Yeah, that's it. Sweaty backward knees. Yeah.
He's like a computer hacker, which is my favorite trope in any movie ever.
Man, Christopher Walken typing in this movie.
It's like you haven't seen the Neil Breen movies, but that's how Neil Breen types. It's like you're obviously not typing. Like you're not typing.
It's like like the first time he's ever seen a keyboard in his life. He's like,
and he's like you said, he's the first streamer because he's like filming himself typing.
Dude, yeah, what's up with that?
Hey, I don't know, man. It's mysterious.
I was like, is this David Lynch, dude? Do you think
Whitley Strieber did that shit? Like, he's watching himself.
I don't fucking know.
Type on the computer.
And I kind of don't want to know. That's kind of, I don't want to know.
And then when the computer, like, shuts down, he goes,
Yeah. What's the matter with you? I'm cooking. That's great, dude.
And then he, like, almost smacks the computer.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Boom!
But he doesn't hit it. He stops. Oh wait! Short.
He goes boom. Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
That's like the opening scene too.
Yeah.
He like
and he's wearing the hat.
He's wearing a fucking crazy hat. He screams
and yells
hat.
At his wife and then like cracks a joke. You know, he's fucking like He never gets like that upset or
she's
angry.
She's got Stockholm syndrome, 100,000%.
The back and forth with
well,
the
dude, seats. She's been with this eccentric. Here's the guy. Here's the guy. Here's the
shotgun
thing.
On her.
Here's the guy. Here's thing. The guy. He's an eccentric guy. She's been with him. He's made a good living. He talks to the kid like he's an equal. She loves him.
What a schmear.
He used to be funny. He used to be funny. Now he's just a dick.
Are you doing Rodney Dangerfield right now?
I don't know what I'm doing.
He used to be funny.
No, but I get her. I think it's the best female character
is this you
in
with
film
Sophia?
History.
Is this you with Sophia?
No.
You're like,
no.
Just like.
No, she knows she's with an eccentric, weird dude. But she just didn't want him to be all like freaking out at the Halloween party and you know, acting like a dickhead.
He was fine at the Halloween party. He was fine.
He was fine. She really fucked. That's what I mean. You guys kept saying how supportive she was. I was actually pretty mad at her. She really laid into him after
well,
that Halloween
the,
party.
The thing is that we, like, again, we were only privy to half of a conversation. They got through half of their argument.
That's Lee Smith's editing.
And then the scene ended.
That's Nolan stuff.
And then the next genius. Scene, she's like making out with him in a fucking movie theater.
But it's okay when Dunkirk does that.
Well, yeah.
It's okay in The Dark Knight where they jump out the window because the Joker lets go of her, and then we never even see what happens to upstairs after that.
Exactly.
But that's Lee Smith.
Yeah. When you shoot a harpoon into a building, it doesn't ever stick. It just would rip
there
out.
Was like, and I bet you there was like a 2-hour version, and Lee Smith's like, I'm going to cut it all out. Like, we're going to make the craziest, most open-ended movie ever.
I'm just going to make this. What I'm going to key in is on walking, and the scenes are only, the only narrative fucking thread will be walking.
There's one scene where it
walking,
breaks.
Walking,
yeah.
Yeah, there's only one scene where it no longer focuses on Christopher Walken. There's like one scene where it's like about the wife and the doctor, but like the whole entire thing's from his point of view. He's
well, even that scene, you're just like, you're just comparing it to the scene with Walken. There's no independent scene for anybody in this film.
Well, that's like subjectivity. It's his communion.
Because once you have Christopher Walken, any other scene is below that.
In that moment where he's sitting in the spaceship and he's got like the head of the alien here. And then the other...
Oh, that shit's... That's a dope shot.
The other masks, like, over here behind him.
I thought that was a behind... When I saw that clip on YouTube years ago... not years ago, like, months ago when...
You
Brett
thought it
told
was
me,
sitting there,
I thought,
like,
it was behind the scenes. I was like, is this behind the scenes?
It's,
like,
it's
B-roll
fucking,
footage?
It's fucking unbelievable, dude. And here's the thing. This should be it for me. Like, the fact that, like, the aliens take half of their face off and then there's, like, this dildo looking thing that's their mouth but isn't really their mouth. It's like there's one more layer deep, dude.
It's not
I
it
know.
For you.
I feel feel bad.
So you want to see Mike Flanagan and Jonathan Nolan team up and do a film series or a TV series of this, like a la Westworld?
Oh, if Mike Flanagan dabbled in science fiction, that'd be with the themes he does, it'd be fucking so good.
Well, and this would work because it's got like faith and all this stuff. You know what? Somebody make it happen. You know what? I won't be surprised, by the way, if this does get revisited by someone, because I'm not saying the movie's iconic, but obviously, again, like, it's pretty well known as a bad movie. And they're wrong, but that's okay. No, but the book is well known. The whole incident is well known. It's like the most well-known book about the alien abduction trope, right? Yeah. Especially because he was already such a relatively high-profile writer and all that, you know? But I wouldn't be surprised if it gets revisited at some point in some form.
I mean, it's far better. It's a far better exploration of the abduction trope than I think anything in the early 90s, late 80s. But I just think that it's like just.
No, you just want it to be as good as it should be. And it's nowhere near that.
Yeah.
No, dude, it could be fucking great, man. I get you. It feels almost like it's like a David Lynch movie, but the guy's not good at making movies.
The moment I saw like him pull out a fucking VHS camcorder, I'm like, what is this fucking...
Lost Highway?
Yeah, Lost Highway.
Fucking dope. Yeah. And they confiscate it. They're like, no, put this here. Like, this is...
Yeah, put it away.
That shit's hilarious to me. It's so weird. But it makes... Like, I get it. I'm like, scene, they're like, you can't film here, bro.
The last scene you see it is when he's at his kid's, like... recital thing. And it just goes off from there. And I'm like, okay, dude, like, just, you know what, dude?
Well, and then it has
go
like
off, King.
Yeah, they have a scene of them on the roof at the end.
I was hoping that was crazy.
They're
yeah.
on the roof looking at the camera, all three of them spaced out, like, you know, with a few feet between them. And it gets a helicopter shot, and then the credits start rolling up.
Yeah,
it's fucking bizarre.
It subverts yeah. the expectation of what you want them to see. Oh, the UFO flying away in the sky or some bullshit. Like,
yeah, we don't get
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you're left wondering.
So this came out the same year, like, for example, of Batman, you know, Tim Burton's Batman and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. So just imagine being like, you know, I don't know, a junior high kid. And not, I was seven, so this wasn't on the radar. Like, that's what I mean. I think around age 8 or 9, I saw part of this on TV, and it scared the fuck out of me because it was the "I see you," like that thing.
Oh, like, is anyone there? And the whole peeking, like, I'm sure that was iconically terrifying.
It was people. Like that Unsolved Mysteries song, and that, like, that's it.
Yeah,
I'm fucked, you know. But imagine if you're like a teenager seeing like Batman 89 and Last Crusade, and then you go see Communion. Like, fucking how crazy that would have been.
Yeah.
It would be not good.
It would be not good.
It's on Peacock if you're interested in watching.
It's also this. On YouTube.
Is it?
Oh, it was Amazon. On Peacock though?
Yeah.
No ads? Fuck. I had to watch it with ads.
You just you watch like 3 ads and then you get to see the whole movie.
Okay.
Because I guess, I mean, it's Universal or they own it. I don't know. Peacock got the right.
Peacock?
Yep. So let's figure out what we're going to do next week.
All right, we shall.
Dude.
All right, well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for Communion.
We hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening or this afternoon or this morning or at work or on your drive or if you're cheating on your significant other and decided to show them the podcast. If why are you guys looking at me?
Wait, like showing who the podcast, the cheaty or the cheeto?
The Cheeto. The Sancho.
Oh, so you're like fucking some dude and you're like
yeah.
listening to this shitty podcast?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Hell yeah. So
you're showing it to the Jody.
You know what? It has to have happened by at least once by now. That's the craziness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the multiverse.
Not even the multiverse. Like, it's
in this verse.
In this one.
They left it playing in the back. Yeah, they started
somebody
it.
That's fucking dope.
Somebody has fucked to this show just playing in the background, and then somebody's significant other was like, turn this shit off.
Yeah.
Had to have happened.
Yeah, or interrupted the sex, and they just straight up stopped having sex, which is fucking dope.
All right, idiots. Well, that's the episode. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
Bye.
Bye.
Open your balls.
Open your balls.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.